Well, welcome to the D&K Riposte Non-League Show. And I'm here for the next hour. As you can see, there's no Keith again tonight. Keith's got some family business that he needs to deal with. And of course, Ali standing, she's actually busy herself as well. So it's me and me. And of course, a super special guest this week coming back for to come and see us again. And of course, just picked up his new job, which we're over the moon about. Of course, he's Neil Smith and the manager now of Cray Wanderers. So welcome, Neil.
Thank you. Good evening.
So mate, I mean, I suppose everybody would want to know, I mean, you know, what have you been doing with yourself in the meantime, and how did the job at Cray come along?
I've been, you know, going to games, watching games. I've been doing a bit of radio, obviously, with Rob. Who I've got to put out a special thank you to. You know, he kept me going into games, doing all the commentary for the Aldershot games, home and away, and, you know, just keep me in there. But I was watching a lot of football from Premier League all the way down to Isthmian Prem. I'm watching Cray and the likes of Mersham, and looking at Worthing as well, just to, you know, see what's out there in regards of Conference South as well. So, yeah, I've been in and around, and then literally I got a phone call Tuesday night, from the guys at Cray saying, could you come in and help us out? And, you know, they've been really good. Gary and the boys that are there, they've been really good to me, getting me into games, making sure that I was keeping active. And it was an offer I couldn't refuse because they've been really good to me.
And I mean, is it... Well, I mean, I have a chat every week with Ali Lees at Enfield Town, and he tells me, he says, you know, the league that you're going into now, of course, with Cray, is probably... He said it's extremely tough. He said it's not an easy game in there. I think, as I was speaking to you a bit off air, you know, there's some games in there where you reckon some of the promotion teams have got some of the teams at the bottom end of the table. And he's saying to me, he said, Dave, he said, those games will probably be more of a banana skin than playing against teams in and around yourself in the top half of the table.
Yeah, I've watched a lot of football in the division, and they are, you know, you can't judge any of the games in respect of this should be a walkover. You know, I was at Worthing Mersham a few weeks back, and you know, Worthing were very dominant, but Mersham at any time could have scored. And you look at where they both are in the league, and it was a really, really close game. I think Worthing ended up winning 2-0, literally scoring the last couple of goals in the last 10 minutes. But that's what you're expecting in this division. You know, it is unpredictable. You know, we obviously had a tough game against Kingstonians, are just outside the playoffs at the moment. I think they're 8th or 9th, and you know, it was really difficult, but full credit to the boys. I thought they did really well, and we should have got something out of it in the end. But, you know, it is a big ask. We've only 5 games now to go to try and get out of the, you know, the relegation zone as we're in it at the moment.
Yeah, and I suppose it's difficult as well with the fact you're coming in maybe, what was it, a couple of days, 2 or 3 days before the transfer deadline as well. So it's difficult to know maybe, you know, like, what you need, what you don't need, et cetera, et cetera. And you're going into that. So, you know, you've got to, you know, go with the lads that are already there. And I mean, how does a manager coming like yourself come into a team that, and I don't mean it's disrespectful to Sam and to the guys there, but, you know, that has been struggling, you know, so how do you then get that mentality into the team? Well, look, come on, guys, let's turn this around and let's just make sure we get the 3, 6, 9 points, whatever you might need.
Yeah, well, you know, when I went in we trained on the Wednesday, and I just said to them then, you know, on paper, you know, there's some brilliant players here. We've just got to make sure that we now transfer the paper names into the ones on the pitch. And, you know, there are some good players at the club, and for whatever reason, they're in the situation they're in. Consistency, mistakes, you know, and it just went in there and went, look, whatever's happened in the past has got to be forgotten now. We've got a six game league now. Yeah. We've got to get as many points on the board as we can in those 6 games. Lost on Saturday, we've now got 5. And, you know, you can't keep harping back to what's happened. You've just got to keep looking forward to the next game. You know, hopefully we regroup tomorrow, see what players I've got available, and put out the strongest side possible to go out to, you know, a game which is going to be a 6-pointer, however you want to say it, against Leatherhead on Saturday.
And, of course, they've actually, you know, since getting their new manager in as well, they've been on a bit of a... better run as well. You know, they pulled themselves into a chance of getting out of it as well. So a tough game. And I'm just looking at the fixtures you've got coming up, and it's like Leatherhead, Hornchurch at home, you know, the FA Trophy winners, Enfield Town pushing for promotion away. Then you've got East Thurrock again in that sort of 6-point zone, you know, I would say that you've got. And then, of course, the last game of the season, Bishop Stortford could either need a point or points to be in the playoffs, or keep that number 2 position that they've got at the minute to, you know, to actually
home fixture, yeah,
fixtures, maybe semi-final, final if they get there. So the cards, you know, some rotten cards being dealt out there, aren't there, as well?
Yeah, no, obviously Kingstonian being the first one at home is always going to be difficult. You know, going into it, we've only, you know, two training sessions, but, you know, being on the same day, you had the 24-hour literally before deadline. You know, you're phoning around, everybody else has done exactly the same probably a week earlier. So I couldn't really change what I've got. But, you know, we've got to make sure that we give it our best. If it's, you know, we've got two cup finals and we know that, but also we don't want to be just rolling over at the teams that are fighting for promotion, because we need every point we can get. So we'll be going into every game as if it is a cup final.
And also as well, of course, with those other games as well, it could go down to, it's a long shot, but it could go down to goal difference and stuff like that as well, couldn't it? So you get to that situation where you don't want to sort of put all your eggs in one basket with the games against East Thurrock and Leatherhead, and then, you know, take a tonking against teams like Hornchurch and Enfield and Bishop Stortford and end up missing out that way. So
that's right. You know, I think we've actually got a pretty good goal difference at the moment. I think we're 16. I know it's minus, but it's better than some of the others that are around us. I think the you know, we've been scoring goals. I think that shows. I think it's the other end. You know, we've got to try and keep a clean sheet if we can, or only let one in, you know, and keep that goal difference, because that's going to be worth as good as a point at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I've just flicked onto it. So that might come into it. It's minus 16, minus 42, minus 53. So you'd have to ship a few. But I mean, how difficult is that though? You know, I mean, coming in and at the moment, looking at it, you know, 4 points in front of Leatherhead, you've got 5 points in front of East Thurrock, but they've got a game in hand. And then the teams above you, of course, are Mersham and Brighton in Sea Region, that are only a point, but played a game less in front.
Yeah, well, Brighton and Sea play, you know, tomorrow. Then you've got, you know, I think East Thurrock are playing tomorrow as well. So there's their game in hand. And you just hope, I know, it's like, you hope they lose. You know, I hope they don't gain any more points on you with that game in hand. And then, obviously, Brighton Sea, you know, just being above us, if they get a defeat as well, then they're in the frame. So there's a lot of teams under pressure, and that's what we need to do. We just need to keep as many teams involved in that relegation fight. So it's not just out of three of us, it's, you know, or four, it's out of five. And then, hopefully, you know, you grab enough points, and we want to get them as early as we can. You know, like you're saying, Bishop Stortford, it could be one of those where they might want to rest players because they're already in there, and you hope that's true. But, you know, knowing Bishop Stortford, they'll want to be going in with the strongest team possible going into the next rounds of the, you know, the playoffs.
Well, we spoke to Steve last week and he's still got eyes on the title.
Yeah. Oh, no, I mean, you would do. But by the time he gets to us,
we'll
know either way by then. So, you know, we'll know. Hopefully they're champions and they went out celebrating the night before. That, you know, that's what we're hoping. So I hope he does do it. But, you know, we just need the lap of the gods. We need everyone smiling down on us, and hopefully we can just get out of it.
I mean, Brighton Sea tomorrow got Chessant, so that's not going to be easy, because Chessant's still a chance of promotion, playoffs. You know, East Thurrock are taking on the ever-improving Potter's Bar as well, since Sammy went in there. So, you know, there's two tough games for them too as well, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I spoke with Sammy the other day, and, you know, he's done a great job since he's gone in there, and I hope he does, you know, because I went to one of the games, I think it was his first one, I think he lost to Cray at their place, and I think since then he's recruited a few players, he's had that time to have a look at what he needed to do, and he had pulled out some results, and I just hope he pulls out another one tomorrow night.
Mm. I mean, I've asked that sort of question to a couple of managers in your league over the last few weeks, and it's probably the same sort of question for yourself as well. I mean, are you just solely fixed now on these five games, or are you then also having sort of chats with Gary and saying, look, if it's scenario A, where are we going? Or if it's scenario B, where are we going? I mean, the managers have those chats this sort of close to the end of the season?
Yeah, I think the priority is staying up. Mm. And, you know, as soon as we can do that, then we'll sit around the table and discuss from there. But, you know, what they've got going as a project at Cray is unbelievable. And, you know, I think I've said it already in an interview. I was nervous on Saturday because I don't want to let the boys down. That, you know, they're a fantastic guys that run the club and own the club. You've got Sam Wright as well, who, since I've been there, is just... can't do any more for me to try and help out. And, you know, there's a lot they can do, because obviously, You know, it's down to getting the players fit and getting them out there from now on. But, you know, the support they've given me, you know, in the last couple of days has been immense. So, yeah, we'll have that conversation as soon as, you know, we know either way what we want to do. But as a project of a club, it's fantastic. You know, if they can get that stadium up and running, and, you know, I don't know when it's going to be done, but, you know, you just see the plans of it and where, you know, the land it's on with all the training facilities. You know, they've got a great youth set up. Yeah, they would love to start an academy and get that going and just have a pathway from, you know, all the way through right to the first team. It's something that, you know, I helped build at Bromley. And, you know, I see exactly the same thing that can happen to Craig.
Has Sam got you on Herbalife yet?
He hasn't got me on Herbalife. He's trying his hardest, but no, I've been there, done that. I've moved on since then. I'm just on your cup of coffees. That'll do me.
So I suppose on a funny note, is this ground better than the ground you were at previously?
Well, not at the moment. It's just a bit of mud, but yeah, once it's up and running, where it is, you're driving past it and you can just see, you know, this story that could happen there. And as I say, the first priority is staying up. But, you know, if we can stay up and the, you know, the future of that club's only in great hands with the owners that are at Cray at the moment.
So, I mean, what was that like, though, you know, getting that call, going back into, you know, to Cray, when, of course, you left it through Bromley? I mean, that must have been a little bit weird walking back in there as a manager of the side that were the tenants.
Yeah, no. As I've said, you know, before, it was a year literally to the day that I got the sack, and I didn't ever envisage me after a year walking back into the home dressing room with a new club. But, you know, lo and behold, that's what happened. You know, right it or odds it. But what I would like to say is all the Bromley supporters that did come and watch us and support us on Saturday was amazing. You know, I saw some very good old familiar faces who had come down just to say thank you. I didn't get a chance to say goodbye. It was all done very, very quickly. And you know, it was nice. You know, I'd love to have got a win. Of course I would. But to see so many faces come down and just show their support for myself, you know, I can't thank them enough.
Mm. I mean, have you managed to keep, you know, have you got all the same backroom staff with you as well from when you was at Bromley? Or have you, you know...
No. They all stayed there, literally. Right. I've gone in, you know, they were brilliant. You know, I couldn't ask them to do what they wanted to do. It was up to them. You know, the club wanted to keep them. And, you know, they've gone from strength to strength. You know, they were in the playoffs last year, which was great. I genuinely believe I would have got them there. You know, they're in the semi-final with the FA Trophy on Saturday. And, you know, fingers crossed and God willing, they get to the final. You know, I managed to achieve it. And I'd love the supporters to get that chance again. And the players. The players that are there, you know, have all wished me the best as well. It was a really close... bunch of players that I had down there when I was there. So, you know, they've shown their support. But I've got Tim O'Shea, who I was with many moons ago at Croydon, who knows this division. You know, he's been watching football and doing a bit of scouting for me when I was at Bromley. So I brought him in as he's a local boy and someone I trust as well. We were at Tottenham and Gillingham together as players. So, yeah, that's who I brought in at the moment.
So, I mean, with that sort of side of it, I mean, you go into the club, of course, you know, they're in that situation where they're in that sort of sticky situation at the bottom. How much do you change the playing style? I mean, have you changed the playing style? Have you got a specific playing style that is Neil Smith's, but that was different to what was being played at Cray? And if so, have you changed it to your style, or have you just,
it's very hard because you've got two training sessions. And obviously the first training session was an introduction. Don't want to change too much in respect of, I don't want to blow their minds. There was a couple of, you know, couple of patterns that I wanted to try and get into their head and a little couple of set plays, but you can't do too much. If you've got them for a week, then you can start on the Monday and work your way through to Friday, but only having them for 2 days, you know, there's not a lot you can really do. Obviously, the first couple of days, a couple of players had left. I had a couple of injuries. So, you know, it's very difficult to implement how you want to play with people, but you can just give them ideas. And I don't want to confuse it too much in respect of playing people out of position, but sometimes you have to. But, you know, no, I try to simplify it all to them and try and keep them in their best positions and their positions because they know what they've got to do.
And I saw you brought in, I saw just before we came on, actually, I saw that you've actually got three players you got in, you managed to get in. Let me tell us about, you know, were they the positions that you felt you needed to get in?
Yeah, I was probably looking for another couple of positions, but, you know, as I say, with 24 hours to go, it was very tough most of the players that you were sort of looking for were saying, you should, oh, if only you'd have phoned Monday. But, you know, I wasn't in a job on Monday. So it was really difficult. So I brought in Max Huckstall as cover as a goalkeeper. I knew him at my time at Bromley. He's a good young keeper. I know he's been training with Jim Stannard at Billericay and just keeping him fit that way. So, you know, I managed to get him in because they didn't have another keeper after Joe. I then brought in Jed Smith on a recommendation. I know he'd been in and around Dartford for a few years, just come from Sevenoaks Town. I just wanted energy. And obviously Tom Bollorinra I brought in, who I knew, you know, I think he'd been playing off and on, but I just needed bodies. And as I say, the people I was phoning up were, there were no bodies. They've all kept their players, knowing it's, you know, the deadline day, and they wanted to keep as many players as they could. So it was a tough one on that. And hopefully I've kept Saul Khedira from Bromley as well, young forward on a dual reg, just so, you know, if and when I need him. But, you know, I've got what I've got. I pretty much knew that on the Thursday. But, you know, as I say, God willing, we don't have too many injuries or anything else that crops up to, you know, beat to our bare bones.
I mean, where are you injury-wise, though? You know, you talk about injuries. I mean, have you got a few, none at all, or...?
Yeah, well, no, Brody, who we had from Dartford on loan, is out for the rest of the season, and goalkeeper took a whack to the head, so we'll find out to him whether he, you know, the stitches he needs. So I will need to call upon Max Huckstall if needed. But, you know, there's a couple that have got niggly little twisted ankles and stuff like that, so they couldn't be involved on Saturday, but you hope they're involved this Saturday. And, you know, as I say, I'm going to need them every week, but you know, this is a massive game coming up. We know that, Leatherhead know that, and I'm going to need to call upon every one of them to be ready for Saturday, and they might have to go through the pain, and then we'll worry about next Saturday. But you know, I need them all for this one.
Would you say though, you know, a manager coming in like you've done, do you have a little bit of an advantage when you're planning one of these sort of, I hate using the word, but hashtag six pointers? Do you have a little bit more of an advantage because maybe the manager at Leatherhead won't know how you play or the opposition you'd be playing that weekend? You know, would it be sort of second guesses because they might have gone out and scouted Cray with the previous manager, and you might change the formation, you know, a tiny little bit? Do you think you might have a little bit of advantage that way?
Yeah, maybe. But I also think, you know, at the end of the day, it's not down to the managers, you know, it's down to the players, and it's how they perform on the day. Some might get a little bit uptight, might be a big game for them. Don't know how many games they played in these where it is, you know, a six-pointer. So I can prepare my players, and sometimes I prepare them because in respect of, don't worry about the opposition, because if we perform to our, I know we can perform, I know we'll win. Got a little bit of inside information because you speak to a couple of people, but it solely depends on if my players turn up and, you know, they play to their best, then, you know, I believe that we'll get the result.
And how do you go about scouting the teams you've got? Have you got that network now to do that you can, you know, go out and have a look at, maybe last week I had a look at Leatherhead, or if they were playing in the week and vice versa with some of the other teams like the likes of Enfield and Bishop Stortford and so on. Have you got that opportunity to
we'll try and get people at games as much as we can. You know, like I said, I was watching Mersham versus Worthing because I wanted to see, you know, why Worthing was so dominant and at the top of the league. And I just wanted to see the level. Obviously, I know Barry Howell's at Leatherhead. At Mersham. So if ever I needed someone to phone up because they might have played them, I know Neil Cugley at Folkestone, who's been there so many years. You know, there's people that I know in the division that I can phone if I need a bit of advice as well in this division. But I can't change what I've got. That's the thing. So whereas I might think I need to add to it, or, you know, what's someone else, it is what it is. So you can watch as many teams as you want, but it will depend on how the players perform on that given day.
I mean, do managers in your position, you know, as a club in that position, do you have a look at what the other teams have got left and sort of maybe in your head, and I'm not expecting you to say it out loud, but it may be in your head with your coaches and so forth, look at it and go, well, I reckon they might get this amount of points, they might get this amount of points. And have you already got sort of a points total in your head that maybe you've told the players or you've kept it secret to yourself and just your management team that you think if we get to there, then we're going to be...
Yeah, I've told, you know, I've said what I think we need for the points. Do I tell all the players? I can do, but do I want to put them under pressure? You know, all of a sudden, if we don't hit that target by a certain... I want to win every game, and that's how I'll prepare. I'll prepare to go and win every game. I've got a target in my head that I think we need. we've got a meeting and a training session tomorrow night where I'll sit down with the boys, because it was so rushed on the Wednesday and the Thursday that I didn't have really a lot of time to sort of talk to them. And I'll ask them as well. You know, I'll ask them what they think they need. So, you put a bit of responsibility on the players as well as just the manager saying, this is what we need. You know, the players have got to believe in what they want to do as well. And, you know, I'll always get the players information because they've got to believe in the target that we're going to go and hit.
I mean, what was the feedback from the players when you came in, and also, you know, from the Cray fans? You know, I know we spoke earlier on about sort of Bromley people being there and supporting. I mean, what have you sort of felt from the players?
Oh, it's all been positives. Mm. You know, since I walked through the door, the positives I've had. You know, I was saying that I had to thank the Bromley supporters because they come down the fan, but the Cray supporters that I've had, you know, just on the messages and stuff like that. And I know through Sam telling me, you know, it's been a real positive introduction. But you know, it's all right saying, oh, he's on board. I've got to win games, you know, and that's my job. And if we stay up, then yeah, they're gonna love the decision. If we don't, and I'm not saying that we got relegated just on the six games, it's obviously everything that happened before, but you know, I'm going to do my utmost to make sure that we do stay up in this division. And like I said, because of the plans that the club have got. But no, as I said, the board members, the directors, the owners, you know, Sam, I can't thank them anymore. The players have been really positive. The two training sessions were unbelievable. There was a good energy about it. And I thoroughly think we deserved to win on Saturday. We didn't take our chances. One or two mistakes cost us a couple of goals. But other than that, I watched the game on the video, and we're not far off from getting it absolutely right. We've just got to make sure that we pick ourselves up, dust ourselves down, and go again on Saturday in a very, very tough game.
So let's be on a positive note then. You know, Cray stay up. They're in the league next year. I mean, would you then expect, you know, I mean, what would your goals then be, sort of like playoffs for the following year? Do you think, you know, with the guys behind it as well, and you got a very experienced manager in yourself as well, and then sort of really sort of having a look at it for the following year?
Well, I know the directors don't want to be in this situation again. So yeah, I'd hope that we can improve and be knocking around the playoffs. You know, it's a big ask after if coming in, and you're going to have to revamp the team a little bit as well. And you know, you've got to see what players you can get in with what budget you've got. So these are discussions for the end of the season. But yeah, if I'm going into a club like Cray with the situation with a new stadium being built and, you know, and all the plans, then yeah, you want to be knocking around the playoffs definitely. But as you said, this is a bloody tough division. So just saying, oh yeah, we want to be in the playoffs, that's not a given. You're going to have to go and work it and earn it.
Mm. Well, Neil, I mean, away from Cray a little bit, if you don't mind, for the sort of second part of this, something I'd like to do with you, if that's all right, is some of the Cray fans might know Neil Smith and know about what you've done previously, what you haven't done previously. Do you mind just talking, you know, starting from the beginning and we just have a sort of half an hour just seeing, having a chat about where you were and what you've done previously? And, you know, I mean, where did you start football-wise? I mean, how did you first get into football,
well,
even as a, you know, as a player?
As a schoolboy, I was at Ravensbourne. So I was a Bromley boy, went to Ravensbourne, and my PE teacher was Keith Walden, who was at Tottenham. And he got me a trial at Tottenham at the time. You know, I'd been to Charlton, West Ham, Arsenal, but Tottenham just grabbed me. So straight from school, I went into YTS as an apprentice, then signed professional terms with Terry Venables at the age of 17. But when I sort of signed, you had your Paul Gascoignes, your Gary Linekers, your Paul Stewarts, your Paul Allens and Paul Walsh. And, you know, I was a professional, you know, training with all these guys. And I just couldn't see myself in the first team. And I didn't want to just be a Tottenham player and playing for the reserve. I was the reserve, you know, I was the man, captain of the reserves at 17, 18. And, you know, it was a great honour. But I wanted to play first team football. And the opportunity came to go and play for Gillingham on loan. And I just loved it. I loved playing, you know, in front of a crowd. 3 points meant something to you. You know, it was tough. So I went to Gillingham, stayed there till 97. Was then bought by Mickey Adams at Fulham. So I played under Tony Pulis, Glenn Roder at Gillingham. And then Mickey Adams bought me to Fulham. And then all of a sudden, you know, Mr. Al Fyre had come in with Kevin Keegan, Ray Wilkins. And then all the big hitters come in, your Chris Coleman's, your Kit Simons, Philip Albert, Peter Beardsley, Paul Bracewell, and me from Bromley. So it was like I was starstruck, and it was the best 2 years ever because you were playing with these superstars of the Premier League era. And then Tommy Burns bought me from Fulham to take me to Reading. And I went to Reading for 3 years. We had to stay up the first year. Then Alan Pardew come in. We got into the playoff final, missed out against Walsall in the final at the Millennium Stadium, and then got promotion the second year. And it was one of them. It was through the ITV digital. Mm-hmm. So when it all went bankrupt and the football clubs were really, really struggling, I was meant to sign for Gillingham again, and they had to pull out. And I was sort of scratching my head. And then I thought, you know what? This is reality. I was 31, 32. I then went and signed for Woking. And I had 5 years of some of the best football and best times ever, just loving it. I took all my badges. I took personal training, coaching. And that was my sort of start into trying to get into the coaching side. And then from there, you know, I then went back into playing.
I mean, with Woking, though, I mean, they've just, they lost, of course, their manager with the, like, you know, before. I mean, was that something that you fancied having a look at, you know, one of your old sides going in there?
It was, but, you know, it was difficult because Dowse was my mate. And he was offering me to go to games, and I was going to games. And if they lost, everyone was just going, oh, we got that. So I was sneaking out. You know, I didn't want to be, you know, seen as like hovering around, especially when my mate had offered me to go in there. So when he got the sack, it was really, really tough. But yeah, I'd have been interested in the job, never sort of went for it. And obviously, they've given it to Darryl Searle, who I think is a cracking guy as well. So yeah. And then obviously, got into Bromley through Mark Goldberg, and went in there as his first team coach assistant manager, and we got promotion from Conference South into the Conference National. And then from there on, you know, got the opportunity to take it myself and loved every minute. Local club, and getting them in the highest position and everything else. And it was just a roller coaster of 5 years.
Mm. And what was over your sort of like your playing career though, I mean, what was your highlight of your playing career, say at Gillingham? And what was, can you remember your game, some of the games at Gillingham? I mean, it says here,
yeah,
they've probably been, 10 goals in 213 appearances. I mean, was there sort of, tell us some stories.
I can remember every 10, every one of those 10. No, so the highlight for me is we played Coventry in a League Cup game. And I think it was Gordon Strachan's first game in charge at Coventry. And we got a replay at our place, and we took them to theirs at Highfield. It was his first game in charge. They just got rid of Ron Atkinson. So you're playing against John Solarco. You're playing a top, against a Premier League side. And I scored the winner with about 8 minutes to go from right back. And, you know, couldn't write it. Away from home, knocking them out of the cup. So that was a massive game. And then obviously going to Fulham, as I say, playing with all these stars. And then we played at Old Trafford, Man United, in the FA Cup. And I got man of the match. And you're playing against the 99 side, you know, the team that won the treble, you know. So to come off after playing against David Beckham, Paul Scholes, Ryan Giggs, you know, Dwight York, you know, I mean the legends of the 99 side. And I come off Old Trafford and got man of the match. And, you know, I've got some great memories. I had a great career without being a superstar, but being at some great clubs. I won promotions at every one of them. And, you know, it was... As I say, I played with England managers and I met some great people that I still keep in touch with now. And they were good times.
Mm. I mean, was that trip to Old Trafford, was that the first time you'd played there, or had you played there previously?
We played there in the FA Youth Cup. And when I was at Tottenham, we won the FA Youth Cup, you know, so we had to play Tottenham. And I was right back, believe it or not. And there's a story. So I was playing at White Hart Lane in the first leg. And they went, watch out for this little winger. They think he's the next George Best. And I went, oh, what's his name? And they went, oh, Ryan Giggs. And so I'm 17. He's about 16. I'm just going to turn the light on. 2 seconds. Nope. I went, all right, okay. They went, yeah, he's a good little player. So I thought, oh, here we go. So first 5 minutes, I thought, right, plan A, I'm going to kick him in the stand. You know, I'll see how good he is if he can't walk, sort of thing. A whack, and you know, lo and behold, he didn't have a great game. I didn't have a great game, but I stopped him from playing, and we did well. also, we're going, obviously, the second leg, we're playing at Old Trafford. And I'm like, right, I'm going to stick to plan A. Seemed to get me a good stead at White Hart Lane. He tortured me for 90 minutes. He put the ball through my legs. He was running around me. He was like, olaying, you know, an Old Trafford crowd. We managed to, in the end, over the two legs, beat him. I then come up against him again, obviously, at Old Trafford. And my first thought process is, don't dive in. I watched him, you know, straight after playing us, he was playing against Arsenal and scoring that, you know, great goal where he was swirling it around his head. And I thought, right, if he can do it to them, I'll take it on the chin that he can do it to me. So, yeah, that was my second time at Old Trafford. But I only got the shout literally at 1:30 that I was playing on the Sunday, live on ITV. And I thought I was literally just going to make the names up. And then all of a sudden, Kevin went, I've got a job for you to do. I went, what's that? He went, you're marking Dwight York. I went, he ain't a sub, is he? And that was it. I was changed within 30 seconds and on the hallowed turf, you know, loving every minute of it.
I mean, what's it like to play somewhere like that, though? That must be, you know, must have been awesome to play in a stadium like that.
Oh, we had that was a mad year. We'd done that. You know, and I had all the family there. We played at Anfield that year. We knocked Aston Villa out of the cup. We beat Southampton in the cup, you know, playing away from home and Villa Park and everything. And it was just a magnificent season that we had that year. And then to top it off, playing the 99, you know, legendary team. Yeah, you couldn't write it. It's something that, you know, I'll live on for the rest of my life. And you, if you ask friends, I talk about it all the time. So for you to say, oh, we're going to have the last 10 minutes, talk about yourself. I'm good at that.
Well, I mean, I was lucky enough, I suppose, to go to just to Anfield just for a tour. We went to Wales and we went round there. And it might be me. Do you think that stadium has really got something about it? I mean, it was stone empty, but you walked in and the atmosphere in this stadium, just a couple of other tours walking around, you could feel the hairs on the back of your neck.
We walked down the tunnel and you've got the this is Anfield sign just as you're walking out. And then you walked out and, you know, even it was a cup game. I forget, it must have been a League Cup or something like that. And all of a sudden you're listening to You'll Never Walk Alone. And it's something, you know, I was a Liverpool supporter as a kid. You know, growing up, you know, in the 70s, you're watching Kevin Keegan. And as I say, he was my hero. And then all of a sudden, he's my manager. Mm. Peter Beardsley, who I thought was an absolute legend of a player, all of a sudden was my teammate. So I have all these, you know, idolising all these players come to you. And Liverpool was my club in respect of, you know, that was the only club I wanted. Every Christmas, I got a Liverpool kit. So to play at Anfield and it was just before the cop changed to the all seat and, you know, listening, watching them swaying and singing that and to be able to get on the pitch. Yeah, that, you know, magnificent memories and it is. You feel emotional when they're singing that You'll Never Walk Alone. You get a big lump in your throat and you're emotional and you're the opposition.
I mean, we went in there and had one of the guys that was in there doing the tour and I just stood there to him and went, I got something to ask you. He said, what's that? I said, you might not like what I'm about to ask you. I said, but is it right to ask a question? He went, yeah, go on. What is it? I said, when we walked out sort of through the tunnel and we was having a look and it was up in the director's boxes like they do. And it just didn't look as big as it did back in 1989 when my side, Arsenal, won the league there. And you think,
right, yeah.
So where was the Arsenal fans on that night? Because it felt, when you watch it on ITV on the match and you see it on that film 89,
yeah,
that they were miles up in a really, really high up. And then when you actually go into that stadium, that corner is like really, really small.
Tiny.
He's going, I don't really want to answer that question. He said, it was a night. He said that I was here. He said, I've still got the scars.
Really?
And it was quite funny, but he's pointed out exactly what it was. But again, it was just fantastic because you just walked in and, you know, it was, as I said to you, it was just one of those cult stadiums I'm always going to go in.
One of them, you know, after the game, I'm just thinking, oh, I'm hanging on to the This Is Anfield sign thinking, I want to take this home with me. And Peter Beardsley went, what are you doing? I went, Peter, I've got to take something, mate. I've got to get something from Anfield. This is my holy grail. You know, I found it and come back and went, oh, come here. All of a sudden, he's gone into the changing room. Straight after the game, he's gone to the changing room. He's gone, here, have that. So I went, oh, what's this? And it's Robbie Fowler's shirt. So all of a sudden, you know, I went, oh, thank you so much. all of a sudden Robbie Fowler come out. So I went, oh, could you sign that? And he went, yeah, of course. And he started signing. He went, hold up a minute, this is my shirt. I went, I know. And I had to grab it off him. Peter had just gone in there, must have just, you know, no one's going to say no to Peter. He just walked in there, picked up the shirt, and I took it home. And I've still got it now. I've got it, you know, Robbie Fowler signed on it. But, you know, any of those clubs, you know, Anfield, Highbury, you know, I did them all, you know, Upton Park. I played in Billy Bonds' testimonial. You know, you're playing about, you know, you're playing the legends. You've got Billy Bonds, you've got Alvin Martin, you've got Frank Lampard, you've got Frank McAvenny, you've got Tony Cotty. And I was a young kid at the time because he played it against Tottenham, and I've still got the crystal decanter that he was given as a gift. And you don't appreciate it until it's all gone. And now, you know, I'm just telling my kids every week, you know, what I was doing, and they're bored of it now. So I'm glad you asked me, Dave. You might not be.
No, listen. And I mean, one of those sort of things as well, I suppose, was Tony Gale playing? Because if he was, he won't be very happy if you've mentioned all these other stars and you haven't mentioned him.
Tony Gale, he probably was man of the match that game. Yeah, no. So again, he's good friends with Tim O'Shea and myself. Obviously, no Anthony as well. You know, when he was at Morton Casuals and stuff like that. So yeah, no, we obviously being a Fulham legend as well, as well as being a West Ham legend and obviously a Blackburn legend. So, you know, there's some good guys around in this division and below. And I've said it and people go, oh, you know, how do you feel about dropping down the levels? And I don't call it dropping down the levels. This is, you know, I'm in this division. It's not levels, you know, it's football. I don't treat it any differently than I would do if I was in the league or in the Premier League. You know, I'll give everything I've got, and that's what I want to do. I want to be successful for Craig.
And and of course, you know, when people say that, it's one of those things where you look at and say, well, okay, if you're saying I've dropped down levels, but I've gone into the same league as the FA Trophy winners.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's that sort of mental side of it as well, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, and some of the players in these divisions are good players. You've got some good players in here, you know, and you've got to give them credit, you know, to do a full day's work and then go training in the evening. It's an ask, you know, and I've done it. You know, when I first went into Bromley, it was two nights a week. I've said it in the story, you know, we were going over the park and Bagsy and space for us to do training in. We didn't have a training facility. And then you're looking for a five-a-side pitch to do training. In that time that I was there over the 10 years, you know, the club had changed. But I had to take it from two nights a week to three mornings a week to, you know, full-time, breakfast, lunches. You know, there is a growth to trying to get there. But, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, we can do the same with Craig. It's going to take time. It's not going to happen overnight. So, you know, of course, if I'm there next season and we've stayed up and, you know, we'd like to be in the playoffs, I'd like to win the league. But you've seen how tough it is. I've seen the teams that are, you know, not top of the league. You know, all the teams that are in there, your Bishop Stortfields, your Enfields, you've got Hornchurch with Stimmo. You know, these are good teams. And Folkestone with Neil Cugley, been there 25 years, I think it is. So you get no right to say, I want to be in the playoffs because of where I might have been as a manager. You know, there's some really respected people in this division.
I mean, someone said to me the other day, you know, well, Worthing, you know, if Worthing go out of the league at the top end, but hang on a minute, you might have someone like Chelmsford or someone like that dropping in. But on top of that, you've also then got the situation where you might say lose, I don't know, let's just say as it stands at the minute, you might lose Leatherhead, you might lose, say, I don't know, whoever would finish third, and maybe East Thurrock. But then coming in, you, as it stands at the minute, you'd have Averley, you'd have Bracknell already up, and Hastings, who are two, three points away from coming up. And you look at that thinking, wow, hang on a minute. It's going to be even more powerful next year than what it is this year.
But I think I've noticed that through all the divisions. Hmm. You know, I genuinely believe the National League is as good as League Two. And I think 5 years ago, League Two was probably where the National League is. Hmm. I think 5 years ago, the Conference South and North is where the Conference National was. And I think that's drip fed. I think better players are now dropping down. So every league is now more competitive than it was. And I genuinely believe that. As you say, it could be a Welling, it could be a Chelmsford, it could be a Tunbridge Angels, you know, that are coming down from the south. They're big clubs. Yeah. They're big clubs. And then the teams that are coming up, you know, in the leagues below them, you've got your Sheppey, you've got your Chatham Town. You know, there's some big clubs in the lower divisions at the moment.
And Wolverhampton.
It's only getting stronger.
Yeah, I mean, it, the actual, as I said, you're looking at, you said about the National League itself, but I mean, you look at that National League, and I would say, without actually physically looking, and you know, and I don't actually look at it too much, and if you actually went and had a look at the National League and said, okay, well, let's just have a quick look of how many of these teams that are in this league were ex-league.
I think there's more ex-league clubs than non-league clubs now.
Non-league clubs in there now. You know,
I think that's just by one or two.
I'm just having a quick look now, just flicking it out. Only Stockport, Wrexham, Chesterfield, Halifax, Notts County, Grimsby. You've got Torquay,
Aldershot,
Yeovil, yes, Southend, Barnet, you know, Aldershot, as you said. And that's just that division. I bet you if you went down the next one as well, there's some in there as well.
100%. And it was always going to get bigger. And, you know, there's only two teams can go up. So there's still going to be massive clubs in there that are going to be, you know, in and around it. Then you've got, you know, below that, obviously follow the South more, but you've got Dorking that could go up. Maidstone, another ex-league club, you know, that could go up. It's a tough division to then get into. But my thing is, when they get promotion from the Conference National, when they go in the league, look at Sutton. You know, in the playoffs, you've got Harrogate staying up. You know, it just shows you how strong that National League is.
Yeah, and Sutton, of course, at Wembley this weekend as well.
100%, and he's done a fantastic job, Matt. And I'll be very surprised if he hasn't been, you know, tapped up and looking for league club. I'm not saying he'd leave Sutton, but I'd imagine there's a couple of League One sides that might be looking at what he's just done at Sutton, because it's been a fantastic job.
I think that just shows as well, because I mean it comes into your club as much as theirs, but you know they had a 3G pitch as well. You know, they've had to rip that up, go back to grass, which of course then means less income for them because they can't maybe use it as much as they did when they had the 3G surface down. But it hasn't affected them in any way, shape or form at all, has it? You know, change surface and flying.
No, because, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to play just as many games on grass because you're playing the away games. But, you know, it's only the home games where you get the advantage. But at the same time, you know, when you go into the league, you get the more funding and stuff like that. But I don't see why, when you're at League Two and you've seen so many clubs going out of business, you know, your Berries and the like, why they don't have 3G. You know, if it brings in an income and it can keep the clubs afloat, I don't see the snobbery of, oh, it's got to be grass in the league. I think, all right, Championship, I get that. And Premiership, I totally get it. But your League Ones and League Two, if it brings an income and it can make the club more sustainable and they can use the facility and they can make it more of a club in the hub, you know, make it a hub for the local supporters, I don't see why they don't bring it into at least League Two and just give you another revenue to earn money for your club rather than just on a Saturday, you know, 24 games a year. That's not enough. They, you know, they need, if they can hire it out every day of the year and they can let the local schools use it, that becomes more supporters. And I just think as an industry and a revenue, I think it's foolish for them not to be able to do it.
I mean, when you came back in, I mean, going back to Cray, I mean, when you went into Cray as well, I mean, did you use some of your sort of contacts to phone around as well? I mean, I know we spoke about sort of scouting-wise with our teams, but did you sort of contact, you know, friends and what do you think? You know,
as I said, we were looking for players and I was phoning everybody I knew, but they, as I said, it was such short notice, I couldn't get them in. You know, I spoke to people at Charlton, Millwall, you know, we've got a goalkeeper there at the moment. And I think it's one of those. Next year is going to be brilliant because everybody knows, but I think because it was so short and you know, as I say, a bit late notice, there might have been a couple of national clubs that would have lent us a couple of players, a couple of conference out, but it was all too late. You know, we were phoning around. It was the maddest 24 hours ever. And as soon as it got to, you know, I think it was 5 o'clock on Thursday, you know, all of a sudden it was like you're just exhausted because you've tried everybody and anybody to try and get players in. Some you were just taking on you were phoning up just on a whim, but you know, they'll all say they help, but they just couldn't do it then and there.
And how difficult was that for you, you know, coming in at that short notice to pick up, to try and
bury
players? Yeah.
Yeah, very, you know, you could, oh yeah, we need to do this and this. Oh, by the way, you've only got until Thursday, 5 o'clock. Pardon? You know, it was one of them because, the season finishes on April the 23rd. And so you've got a month and you're like, wow. right, okay. And it was literally, and it wasn't just me, it was Sam Wright as well. We were phoning in everybody and anybody that we could. And, you know, and as I say, it was one of them. Oh, you should have said Monday, or you should have said last week. And we weren't there. You know, we literally had literally from Wednesday morning, and by then you can't phone up Thursday at 2 o'clock and try and find a player. They've gone. So it was hard. We probably had 24 hours to do as much as we could. We tried to do it. We got a couple in, you know, and it's an ask, but, you know, I knew the situation before I come in. I knew it was going to be tough. I knew it was going to be hard. I saw the fixtures. I have jumped into the frying pan, but, you know, as I say, when someone asks for your help, you know, you're always going to give it the best shot you can.
Yeah. So Sam was, I bet Sam was out there, weren't he, offering Herbalife chocolate and Herbalife?
He was giving it half price. Chocolate fudge.
Protein powder, buy one, get one for it.
With free tea, whatever the caffeine tea is, I don't know. He was offering it all out. Free shaker bottle.
Yeah, I can just imagine him sitting in his office.
Training session. Brilliant. He's done what he's, honestly. They've got such a good bunch there that I really hope I can do everything I want to do for them, because they deserve it.
I mean, on the show, for over the years, we've followed the story of Cray sort of being the nomads and not having their own ground and all the rest of it. And, you know, and fingers crossed, you know, everything's going in the right direction to get that ground up and running so that they actually finally do it. And, you know, Gary deserves all the praise he gets, I think, for, you know, making sure that that happens. And he's been trying to do that he came on the show himself probably maybe 5-6 years ago, I think, when we were in the little...
Now 28 years or something like that, I was told. And it was like, really? And he knows every bit of history of that club. And he's been trying to tell me day after day, you know, this is so-and-so. He was here. And it's like, wow, the oldest club in London. You know, it's got a great story. Mm. And it just needs that, you know, it's got great ending. It's, you know, it's in the middle of it and it needs a great ending. And the great ending is, you know, to get their own home, their own stadium, their own pitch. And, you know, obviously stay up this season and then just grow from there.
Mm. I mean, tell us a little bit about the squad you have got. I mean, I wouldn't say are you happy, but I mean, with the squad that you've actually physically got there, though, I mean, how good are the players you've got there? Do you feel that you've got what you've got there are definitely going to get you out of it?
Well, yeah, of course. You know, I can't bring anybody in if I wanted to, but you've got the likes of Chris Dixon, you've got, you know, go through it. You've got Sam Wood, you know, who played for me at Bromley, obviously played for Wickham, Brentford, you know, he's got great experience. You've got Anthony Cook, who knows the division and higher. You know, you've got Carl Reid, you've got some really good experienced players. As I say, you know, you've got a good couple of youngsters that come out of Charlton as well, the two fullbacks, Kazim and Fred. You've got some good players. And for whatever reason, it hasn't happened. I've just got to try and get the best out of them for the next 5 games now. And do I think we can do it? Yes, I do. Do I think it's going to be a tough ask? Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think I've got the players in there to get the job done. And as I say, hopefully sooner rather than later. Mm-hmm. So we can, you know, get whatever we want to do out of this season and start preparing for next.
Mm-hmm. I mean, are you one of those managers, though, Neil, that... he's all over the club from top to bottom. I mean, in the way that, I mean, that, you know, you're going down there looking at your under 16s, your under 17s. And I'm not sure what Cray have got. I mean, just having a look around, seeing what you've got coming through that, you know, if you do survive or don't survive, what players you may have homegrown that are coming through to set up.
Yeah, I will be doing all that. I did it at Bromley. I was going to all the cup finals. You know, we held them at Bromley Football Club and I was there to everyone, every school's final, district final. Because, as I say, you've got to make sure that you are the hub of the football community and you want the young players coming through. And I think at the moment, I think Cray, for their, you know, for their hard graft and work they've got, I think they've got 3 teams at every level right the way through, from under 8s all the way through under 15s, under 16s. I've then got to get that next pathway. And, yeah, it's something that we're looking at that I want to try and start, you know, an academy there so they can do their schooling and then, you know, carry on the training. Then obviously a 23s, then obviously to the cherry on the top, which is the first team. But these things don't happen overnight. They are, you've got to plan them well. You've got to make sure that they're good and they are, you know, they bring the players through. But yeah, I will be there, you know, every final that they get through if I can. You know, at the moment, my priority is obviously after one thing, and that's getting that first team, you know, hopefully safe. And then after that, then we can look at the future of the kids. With any of these divisions, you want local players playing for your local club.
And is it one of those things as well for you, with the experienced players that you mentioned earlier on as well, and you said you've got a couple of youngsters in that team. Have you seen that in your training, you know, in the training session or two training sessions you've had, where the older ones are actually physically helping the younger ones and in the right direction?
They have to. They have to. You know, I was a young kid, and as I say, when I was at Tottenham, and I had the likes of Gary Mabbott, I had Chrissy Hughton, Terry Fenwick, all sort of guiding you in the right direction. Mitchell Thomas would then, when they sort of went on, then you had your Mitchell Thomases, your Paul Allens, who were brilliant. And that's what I try to emphasise to the senior players. You know, you've got to be their father figure. You've got to help them out. You know, they're going through the learning process that you've already been through. So you've got to give them the guidance. You've got to give them the encouragement. You know, if there's a problem, let me sort the problems out. But on the pitch, just keep encouraging. They're going to make mistakes. Every player will make mistakes. That's at every level. It's how you tell them that, you know, to do it right. And if you're just getting under them all the time, I don't know one player that will react better, you know, being shouted at. You know, encouragement. They're going to make mistakes. As long as we know that, it's just try and make them in the right, doing the right thing. And then we'll just learn from there.
I mean, and also as well, I mean, you know, let's just jump forward, you know, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, whatever. End of season's done, dusted, whichever happens. I mean, how quick do you then start preparing once the season's over for next year? I mean, how quickly are you then maybe phoning up some of your contacts and saying, look, you know, I want to try and get a squad together and I want to get them here and I'm due back on this date, you know.
Literally the next day. As soon as we know, you know, what's happening, safe or not, you'd be trying to phone, because other clubs are going to do exactly the same. So what you don't want to be doing is competing and getting into an auction with clubs. You want to get your players sorted as early as you can, for two reasons, because you know what you've got going into pre-season. You know, there might be a couple of positions that you might open and see what's out there, because some people might be saying, oh, I'm going up a level, and they don't. And then they're available, and you don't want to have done everything to not get them. But, you know, the majority of your players, if you know who you want, I'm a believer, go and get them. Get them done, get them sorted, and then you can move on. And, you know, you'll have three or four players for each position. And you go for your top one. If you can't get that one, you know, you move your way down. But, yes, it literally, as soon as I know where we are and what division we're in, you know, that's when you start sorting out your players and system and everything else.
So you're in that sort of Roy Keane mentality, that if you know you want this player, this player, this player, this player, and they say, I want this amount of money, you just say, right, there you go. Bang. So you get the players you want, or do you sort of look at it and go, well, look, this is what we've got, and you work within no sort of...
Always, areas. You know, I never, in all the time I was at Bromley, I never went over budget. I didn't have the best, biggest budget, competitive, but I got the players who wanted to play for the right reasons. And that's what you've got to do. You've got to sell yourself and you've got to sell the club. And that's the reason why they come in there. They come in there for the money. It's the wrong club. You know, of course, I'll pay you as much as I can, but don't come here for the money. We're not that sort of club. You'll get good training. We'll play a good style of football and we'll be competitive. And that's all I ever promised the players. I never, ever, if they then come back and say, Santos offered me this, then go. I'm not getting into an auction. I want the right players for the right reasons. And, you know, it's something I can be proud of at Bromley. I never went over budget because I treated the money like it was my own. And I'll do exactly the same wherever I am after then.
I mean, excited though about what's coming up in the next 5
years? Yeah, as I say, the project and the story of Cray is amazing. I just want to stay up. I'd love to wave a wand and say, right, you're up. That's it, done. Because I think the story that can be created at Cray is going to be amazing. You know, as soon as they get there, you know, they're home, like somewhere they can call home, you know, that. It's their own ground, it's their club, and they can just move forward. You know, it'll be a brilliant story and a brilliant journey. And there will be dips and there will be ups and downs. But I think once they get that, I, you know, it's going to be brilliant. And, you know, I'd love to be a part of it.
I must admit, mate, it's great to see you looking so well and making and looking, you know, really enthusiastic about the challenge that, you know, that, you know, just be honest, it really is for you, the challenge with them this season, and do wish you all the best.
I appreciate that.
Really do hope you get up and all the rest of it. And I know Ali wants to send her regards as well. She said, please pass on, you know, that she's hoping the best for you guys as well, because she's got a real soft spot, of course, for the club as well. So she's, you know, wishing you guys and Gary and everybody and the best. But one thing before we go, one thing I'd like to ask everybody out there, of course, last week we started our brand new YouTube channel. The Southern League's YouTube channel was started last week, where we did a South End preview. That's back again on Thursday evening at 7 o'clock, but previewing on their channel on Tuesday night, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, is a fantastic chat that myself and Steve had about a week, 2 weeks ago, with one of the nicest guys, present company excluded, of course, in football, the legend that is Mr. Tony Gale. That goes out tomorrow, 7 o'clock tomorrow, where he goes through all of his life in football, from taking over from Bobby Moore at West Ham, taking over from Bobby Moore at Fulham, right up to the present day, and goes into how the club at Wharton Casuals is run at the moment with him and, of course, his son, Anthony. So please don't miss that and subscribe to the channel. Just have a go on YouTube and look for the Southern League's YouTube channel. And I say it's an interview not to be missed, because, of course, Tony... he's on his fine form as normal and laughing and joking all the way through the hours show that we did with him. And then the following Tuesday, the president of the Southern League, Keith Allen, talks about in his minor life in football. He talks about, of course, and people don't realise this, he was the secretary for Wycombe Wanderers on that famous night at Leicester City when him and Laurie Sanchez were under the stand, and a certain Mr. Essendoe pops up with a header and scores his only goal for Wycombe Wanderers. And he goes into a lot of detail around that day and what happened and how it happened, et cetera, et cetera. So please don't miss those two because they are fascinating interviews. And I say, have a look, the Southern League YouTube channel, please have a look, subscribe and have a look at what is going on there. We're putting a lot of work in there to try and bring that up to the level of other leagues. So please do that. But for me, now the time's run away from us. A massive thank you to Neil. And as I said earlier on, Neil, wish you all the very, very best.
Thank you.
For it. Hopefully Keith will be back with me next week. Hopefully his family troubles will ease a little bit and he'll be back next week. But until then, from me, massive thank you for everybody to carry on watching. Massive hope and prayers for Cray Wanderers and for Neil and everybody else at the club. But until next week, from me and from Neil, good night.